Welcome to Meet the Writers. I'm Georgina Godwin. Buenos Aires has the most bookstores per capita of any city in the world. On a recent visit to the vibrant literary Argentinian capital, I sampled a small selection, starting in the neighbourhood of Villa Crespo. Hola.
Hi, how are you? My name is Nurit. Welcome to Libreria Mi Casa, which in English would be my home bookstore, something like that.
So this is in a great neighborhood of Buenos Aires. It is in
Villa Crespo. Yeah, I like this neighborhood. When I bought the house like 7 years ago, there were not so many people here, but now there is a whole of bookstores and also galleries and also like small restaurants with trends like that. Yeah, it's like a rebirth of the neighborhood.
So we're just walking, actually, we've just come up through the corridor and we're just walking into your own private home.
Yeah.
But it's not just your home because, as you say, it's also a bookstore. Now, there's nothing on the outside that makes me think there might be a shop here.
No, and I don't want it to be because it's like a secret and it mouth to mouth, you know, people like tell this a secret. If you know somebody that tell you there is a bookstore, you can come. If not, you don't. So it's like when you enter the house, you see there is a garden, like in the backyard. You have kind of plants. You have also a cat.
This is a very famous cat, actually,
yeah.
Because she's kind of the brand for your secret bookstore.
Yeah, Amelia, yeah. Because she is strange. She has like a funny face, you know. And she likes to be around in the sofa and when clients are looking at the book. She annoys the clients because she wants to sit there. And she sits on the books and everybody likes her.
So we're coming through your apartment, your kitchen, your sitting room, your own books. Now, these are books that are not for sale,
yeah,
but shelves and shelves of your own.
For my own, yeah, and I don't sell them. And some clients are confused. I can have this? No, this is mine. You cannot have this. And well, we can, when in summer, we go through the garden because it's nice. So we come from here and we take the stairs and go up and come to the library, you know, to the bookstore.
And
she always comes with us. No, Amelia comes every day with me to the store.
So now we've come upstairs and there's this white painted room, white floorboards, and then it's just covered in books and other objects. So let's find out exactly why and how this started. Shall we sit?
Yeah, of course. It started 7 years ago. I studied economy. I graduated in economy. I worked for years in the government. And I was sick and tired of doing that work. I didn't like to get up early, do everybody the same, like have a chief, like all the things that come with a regular job. And I wanted to be a freelance, but I didn't know what to do. When I was working there, I also have a magazine, like online magazine, which was free, which was called No Retornable, where we published contemporary literature and also art and that kind of stuff. And I also organized Ciclo de Lecturas, which was a reading, like poetry readings, like for 3 years, where many poems came to read. And there I sell books. I did it for free first because I have my money for my job. But when I quit my job, I started like selling the books as a way of living. Parallel of that, I started studying like a master in philosophy, and I didn't know what to do. I was like in a transition now, and I read a book of Clarice Lispector, which was La Pasión Según GH, and I have an epiphany now, which was like the organization is not opposed to disorganization. It's opposed to a new way. And I say, okay, I need to do something new, but I don't know what. And that's how the bookstore started. Like, I want books for me. I want time to read. I have everything to do, and I have a beautiful house. It's like, oh, what do I do with these factors? So I opened the bookstore, but it was not something that I did it like first the idea and then the practical thing or the concrete things, you know, that everything bonded to be at the same time, no? I didn't had the name. I just sell books in my house. It was like that. At first, I only have these shelves, though, these three shelves, you know, from here, from the left. And then I have more shelves and more shelves and more books and more books. And I started bringing books from outside, no, from Chile, from Peru, from New York, and from many countries. It was growing, and people started knowing it. It was like mouth to mouth, and it grew a lot. I didn't do anything to grow, just to have a very good catalog. I choose very good the books I sell. I reject many publishers that I didn't want to have, or many authors that I didn't want to have. And I concentrated like the independent publishers and whole place, where when I did that, this was not happening, you know. Now you can find some books, but when I started, it didn't happen. No.
So you identify then a small publisher in a country. So for instance, in New York, there's a publisher there that you like.
Well, I work with Ugly Duckling Press, which is a typographical press, which has a place in Brooklyn, you know, which is very beautiful. They have like care books, but they are also very small for New York. And they sell poetry, experimental poetry. They also have translations. And they have also essay and prose, but especially poetry, yes. Mm-hmm. So we are partners, you know, for an Ugly Duckling. Like, I'm a partner of them. They used to send me the books by plane, you know, by mail, and like I have all the news here, something like that.
And that's a model that you repeat with different countries, yeah, all over?
Well, not too many countries, but I travel to New York once a year because of my job, something of the economy or something I do. So since I travel once a year, it's easy for me to work with some publisher from there, like Sudakia, like Brutas, or like Pen Press, something like that, because I travel there. For example, I don't travel to Britain, or I don't travel to Italy, so it's not easy for me to carry the books in the luggage. Since I travel to Chile, or Chilean people come here, it's easy. Like, the countries I work with is countries that I have some next or some people in common, so it's like that.
So as with everything in this highly unusual shop, it's very, very personal.
Since I studied literature also, apart from economy, I did like 6 years of literature and then the magister at philosophy. So I know a lot of recommending people also theory, you know, what to read to do a thesis, or what authors here you need to read. If, for example, you are studied like the memory of women in the 60s. So you have to read these women, not these. So I like to recommend books.
Back to this concept of a secret bookstore, yeah, because you were the first, but in fact, you've inspired many others in this city.
Yeah, I know. I was the first, and really I was for 3 years the only one, because people like sometimes rejected the project from the bookstores traditional, say, why did you do that? Or some publishers didn't want to come here because they say, why, you are informal. And they all knock the door and say, I want to be here. Or some clients of mine or pupils, because I also teach literature, started their own things, copying myself, because I am very passionate. Now I'm quiet, but I'm really passionate for the things. And talking to me, think this is easy, because I tend to have a way of seeing things that makes this easy to be. Oh, everybody can have a store. Like, it's easy, she did it. Why not do it this? Because I'm a normal person, like, not special, you know, and I did it, so why not me doing this?
But it's proved a very, very clever and successful concept.
Yeah, I know that. I told you, when I started it, I didn't was conscious of what will be this now, or what will it happen. Like, I have a lot of press from the New York, Italy, Spain, and other countries from here. I was in the top of newspapers, and I was like, I only want to read, no? It's like, I did it because I wanted to read. I wanted to have with the crisis, like, I wanted to have books for me. I didn't want it to be famous for this, but I became. It's like that, you know?
Mm-hmm. I would like to contrast this shop in your home, this very personal feeling, to one of the grandest bookshops in the world, which is just down the street. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, it's very different. El Ateneo is a beautiful place, you know, because it has like history, and it wasn't primarily a bookstore, it was another thing, so it's beautiful. It has a lot, but I think it's like organic grocery. I think you can compare it, because you go to a supermarket and you have everything, and some people are lost with everything. They prefer like the farmer and to sell their products, their own, the lab for the products. It's like big, like that, I think. Here, you don't have everything, but people that come here don't want everything.
But for those who do, El Ateneo is a bookshop chain, and its flagship store in Buenos Aires, Ateneo Grand Splendid, is converted from an old theatre. Attracting around 1 million visitors a year, it was first built in 1919, later converted from a theatre to a cinema, and then to a bookshop. It's retained its original frescoed ceilings, ornate boxes, elegant rounded balconies, detailed trimmings and plush red stage curtains. Bookseller Luciano showed me around.
We are at Ateneo Gran Splendid. It's the most famous bookselling chain in Argentina.
And this building?
Well, it was constructed at the beginning of the last century, so it was an important theater in the cultural venue here in Buenos Aires. But after 50 years, it was closed for more than 30. It was an important decision from the government to take this place as a cultural point here in the city. In that situation, it was converted as a bookshop. So that is why it is a very important place here.
And it's absolutely beautiful. Just looking around, I mean, you've still got where the stage was. You've got a cafe and a bar there. You've got, I think it's three different levels, is it, running all around. That's where the seats would have been, the circle, the grand circle. We're standing here in the stalls. How many books do you have here?
Well, we have 90,000 titles. We consider that we have more than 200 books, 200,000 books here. You can take any book to the cafe and you can read it without paying it, so that is quite good for any reader.
I know that times are tough here in Argentina economically for a lot of people. Are people still buying books?
Yeah, well, there is one of the capitals, at least here in Latin America, that is considered it has the most numerous bookshops in the city. So I assume that porteños, specifically people who live here in Buenos Aires, are very good readers. So that is one of the reasons the bookshops is still on the top.
And now this bookshop in particular is a bit of a tourist attraction. It keeps making all the lists, one of the most unique bookshops in the world, one of the most exciting, and one of the biggest.
Yeah, it's one of the biggest here in the city and in Latin America as well. We are receiving many tourists from any part of the world. So we are very happy to do this activity as a cultural way, as a touristical way as well. So it's very appreciated.
Next, I headed to Eterna Cadencia to meet with former publisher Gabriela Adamo, who runs the international literary festival Filba out of the bookshop.
Well, I've been working in the book world for the last 20 years as an editor in what is now part of Random House Mondadori, which I guess happens to many publishing houses, as a translator also. I translate from German into Spanish and from English a little bit, but mainly German. And then for the last 10 years, I've been working around events that get together books and people, books and readers. Now I'm heading Filba, which is a small foundation which runs several literary festivals. The biggest one is the one that gives us the name, Filba. It's International Literary Festival in Buenos Aires.
When you say small, it's international, but you're bringing in a lot of people.
Yes, it's small if you compare it to big traditional festivals like Edinburgh, for example, who whenever I see the figures they have, it's like, wow, we are really small. But it's big for our standards. It's possibly the biggest one in Latin America festival, which is not related to a book fair. That I want to make that difference clear. So we have every year around between 100 and 120 writers, and around 10,000 people in the public. Yes, it's a number.
So let's then have a closer look at the Argentinian literary scene. Mm-hmm. So the type of writers that come to Filba, what would they be?
Well, Argentina has a great scene. I have to say that I'm very happy and lucky to be working in this scene. Culture is very important for Buenos Aires, especially. It's a city with around 400 bookstores and it's known for the many small boutique publishing houses we have. So you can find writers of all sorts. You have established writers who have a big public like Claudia Piñeiro or Guillermo Martinez. Then you have established writers which are great, maybe not that much for a main public, but who is now a candidate to the Nobel Prize every year, which is Cesar Aira. You have writers who are already there, of course, Borges and Victoria Ocampo and Saer and many of them. And then you have a very wide array of young writers of all kinds, and many women, and they all get the possibility to get published. There's a very lively scene around these bookstores, so they also get to get together with their public, and it's very rich everywhere.
It seems to me, looking around at the various bookstores, that events are at the heart of the literary scene here, perhaps more so than in Europe, and that's something that really, I mean, I know that you're involved in it, that really seems to be happening a lot.
Yes, it's very challenging for us, for a festival, because we are working in a city where things happen all the time, so it's not easy. Someone once numbered all the events, and there's one book presentation every day in Buenos Aires, so it's really a lot. I guess it has probably something to do. I don't know if you've noticed that not only the bookstores there are many bookstores, many have cafes, and cafes are filled and packed the whole day. I always wonder, don't these people work? They work in the cafes. We are a society who like to get together, who like to mingle, who like to work when there's other people around. So I think that's from this habit, this culture of events also arises.
Is it possible, do you think, to say if there's a kind of theme running through current, contemporary Argentinian literature?
Well, it's always difficult to make these generalizations, but we had a big dictatorship in the 70s, which ended in 83. After that, we had some celebratory years of what democracy would mean for the country. And then after these celebratory years, we had a strong literature that really delved into the dictatorship and what these years meant and how they influenced our life. And there were many political novels, but that is somehow passing over. We got a little bit fed up of it, I have to say. You can still find it, of course, all the time, and in more original ways and not in a realistical way of writing. You will find it in Cesar Aira always, or you will find it in a Martín Coan in a very avant-garde way of writing. You will find it in a María Moreno with her essays who reflect about everyday culture, and you will see it every day. But we are like getting away from the realistic way of telling that. And I would say that in the last 10 years there has been a development which can, I think it's quite worldwide. There's more telling, the small stories, more intimate, more personal, this trying to find a place of the younger generation in a world which is very strange. And I think this we share with world literature.
And in terms of readers, not just people that are coming to festivals, but people who frequent the bookshop and not just for the cafe, is there a way of dividing that perhaps into social economic classes or age groups? Are you seeing more of one type of person?
Yes. Well, Argentina, like all Latin American countries, is a country with big differences, if you are thinking of social and economical differences. One of the things we do at FILBA is we work a lot to try to get the same opportunity of access to books to all the population, because the people you see here in a bookstore like this one in Buenos Aires have the possibility to getting close to books, and the rest of the country doesn't have that possibility. So there is a lot of work that has to be done there. On the other hand, there is all the schools and all the libraries of the country are very well stocked. There has been a big buying of books from the state, so the books are there, but we need to work a lot in giving the books a place which again I think is something that's happening in the whole world, competing with all the other ways of entertainment, of learning, of getting to information that exists nowadays.
Why do you think that the boutique publishing scene is so strong here? I mean, that's quite unusual to have so many small publishers.
I think there is a very concrete sociological explanation for that. In the 90s, like in the whole of the, in the rest of the world, the big companies bought up almost everything and there was a big concentration of the market. But then in 2001, we had a very big economical crisis, which made it not a business for these big companies to be in Argentina. From one day to the other, they stopped exporting their books to our countries. The bookstores got emptied in 2 weeks. It was very impressive. So suddenly there were these bookstores empty. There were the readers who wanted to read. It was not a business for the big houses to send their books. So lots of small publishing houses popped up in those days. And we were very curious, we people working in the book industry at that time, what would happen with these houses. And many of them did a great job. They professionalized themselves very much. They really learned how to choose books, how to make covers, how to print, how to market their books. They've been doing a very good work. And so they are resisting and surviving. And I guess now it's, we are about to see what happens now, where the big houses are again having a competitive advantage. But I think enough time happened and these smaller houses are very well entrenched sort of in the bookstores. And I think there's going to be a very interesting battle of interest there of both kind of publishing houses coexisting, each with different kind of books and different kind of readers.
How important is Spain in this? Is the publishing industry run from there, largely, of the major houses?
Well, that's a crucial question. For many publishers who sell rights for translation from other languages to Spanish, they think everything happens in Barcelona and we are just like the backyard of Barcelona, which for the big houses, that's how it works. And then often there happen very frustrating things, like publishing houses buying rights for translation, but then it doesn't make sense for them to export them to Latin America, so you will never get to read them here. So in that sense, for us it's very important to show everyone that no, that Latin America is completely different, that each country has its own taste, its own way of choosing books, its own way of translating books. Spanish is very different. Spanish speaking in Madrid is not like the one in Buenos Aires, like the one in Mexico. So giving place for this play of languages is very important too. And you can reach a lot of readers if you go to each country separately, which is complicated. We are a huge continent, their distances are big. So there is a permanent sort of fight with Spain. During many years, the other way around, for an Argentinian writer to be respected or read in Argentina, they had to be published in Spain first, and then they were read here. But this is also luckily changing. In these last 5 years, there has been a development. Spain is in a big economical crisis also. Latin America has been sort of coming out of a crisis. So I would say that there is a balance now.
What about literature in translation? Obviously, all of the big foreign authors are translated into Spanish, but how much does that go the other way? How much Argentinian literature gets translated?
Well, first, to this side, Mexico and Buenos Aires are two countries who translate a lot. That has to do with our immigrant origin. There have been great translators here and great editors who could choose other languages. So that has been part of our DNA, sort of. And you will find lots of translated books here, and also in these very, very small publishing houses. They can do the effort to get them translated. The other way around is very difficult. Of course, everyone wants to get translated into English because that's the language who will open the doors to other languages afterwards, and it's not easy at all. We compete with all the other Spanish-speaking countries. We don't have many subsidized prices or whatever to offer the foreign publishers to get the books translated. And then there's one particular point I would like to make, which is there may be chances to get fiction translated, but not at all to get essays or any kind of thoughts translated it. Like, Latin America is the country of the magic realism, of fantasy, of whatever you want to put into that place. But then when it comes to thinking about the world, then it's like we wouldn't produce anything of interest, which of course isn't like that. So there is a lot of work to be done in that area.
Finally, I'd like to talk about bookshops. While I've been here, I've been to a secret private bookshop in somebody's home where you have to know the address to go there. I've been to the biggest bookshop in the city in an old theatre, which is really beautiful. And then here, we're talking on the terrace of yet another bookshop. Just tell me a little bit about where we are now.
Well, now we are at Eterna Cadencia, which is a bookstore that is 10 years old in Palermo, in a very fancy neighbourhood, which is a place for getting together. There is the bookstore, there is a publishing house here too, there is the Filba office, and just people come around and eat here and have a coffee and meet. And I think the bookstores have this very important symbolical place in our city. Of course, bookstores close like everywhere in the world, but then there are more that open, and we just love them.
That love is very evident in Buenos Aires, whether for a tiny secret store like Libreria Mikasa, the huge Ateneo Gran Splendid, or the beautiful Eterna Cadencia, home of the international literary festival Filba. My thanks to all of my guests, as well as to Heather Cleary for her assistance and the British Council Argentina for their help. You've been listening to Meet the Writers. Thanks to the production team of Claire Urban and Wei Dong Ling. You can download this show and previous episodes from our website or app, from SoundCloud, Mixcloud, or iTunes. I'm Georgina Godwin. Thank you for listening.